In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Well, there are a couple of dynamics going on in the gospel lesson today, and the one that we usually spend lots of time on is the conversation between Jesus and Satan and what that was really all about. But another element of it is what role was played by Jesus spending this time in the wilderness. So that got me thinking about wilderness experiences. That got me thinking about my own wilderness experiences, and maybe one that just really stands out in my mind to kind of illustrate what the function of that is and what comes out of these times in the wilderness. Well, there was one that just flashed and sparkled and banged in my brain. And I just want to quickly share that to kind of set the context of this conversation about the role of time in the wilderness. I was 29 years old. My mother was diagnosed with breast cancer. And following surgery, not long after surgery, there was a recurrence and there were more surgeries. And it was clear the cancer was not even slowing down. It was spreading. Then a prognosis came that was not a good one. And my mom and dad and my two brothers all lived in northern New York. And Ruth and the kids and I lived in Pennsylvania. And I felt a really strong need to come home. Not only to be with my mom, which I wanted, but as soon as I got out of high school, I wanted out. I wanted out of 10-foot snowbanks and 30 below zero, and I just wanted to be gone. And the result was my children, my two girls, didn't really know my mom very well at all. And I grieved over that. And so I wanted to go back to my hometown so that my kids could know my mom. And so Ruth agreed to the move, and my dad offered to have me work in the family RV business with him and with my two brothers. And we moved back. And I love my hometown. And it's kind of a special treat because it's only a town of 1,800 people. Everybody knows the Ratten family because not only did we have one of the bigger businesses in town, but my dad, in his figuring out what he wanted to do when he grew up, was an insurance agent. He sold real estate. He had a jewelry business. He ran a restaurant. And he was the village police justice. And that was all while I was growing up, all in that, 15 years or so. So moving home meant that I got some pretty nice recognition. You know, when I went anywhere, into a restaurant or walking on the street downtown, people knew my name and I knew them. And they knew that I had been in college, had an engineering degree, and they respected that I had come back home. Well, after I had been there about a year, my mom passed away. And then another year or two more, there was a deep recession that hit the whole country. RV sales went down, a long ways down, and so did my income. And I was doggedly determined, though, to stay there. And Ruth started saying, do you think you might want to use your engineering degree and your 10 years of systems engineering experience to, maybe change things? I said, no, we need to be here. And I just ended the conversation. And so the tension grew, as you can imagine, the tension of the conversations. Well, finally, my health began to suffer. And I ended up, because of the stress of what was going on in this deep wilderness experience, in an emergency room at the hospital in Watertown, New York, with pains in my chest. I was then 30 years old, and I was absolutely convinced I was dying of a heart attack. I was praying in the car all the way to the hospital with a neighbor driving because I thought that was it. it was definitely the deepest wilderness experience of my life. And what I found out was it was not a heart attack, it was stress. And part of the stress certainly was because of my dad, but it was also because of me. And what I was able to eventually see from this experience was that what was driving me was my own ego. And that's not what we Christians are meant to allow to drive our lives. We were created in the image of God. We were created to grow in the image of Christ. When we were created, it was out of the essence of God that we were created. We weren't just created out of nothing. It was out of the essence of God, and the essence of God lives in us. So we have this tension working in us that we are of God. We are made of the essence of God, and we end up constantly being tempted by ego and pride to choose other solutions to problems than what we're really called to do when we consider the essence of who we are. Well, Moses spent 40 years in the wilderness leading the Israelites, and they didn't show much sign of God's presence in them. They were constantly filled with distrust and envy and impatience and feeding their own egos and complaining and whining. But Moses had been in the presence of God. He was very clear what was the essence living in him, and he provided that connection with the Spirit of God that empowered them time after time after time after time to get back on track, to find their own spiritual center, to find where God's presence was living in them. In the prologue of John's Gospel, John names Jesus to be the Word, and that's Word with a capital W. That's the big W. That's the Logos Word, and that's the breath of God, the essence of God that is Jesus Christ. I went to a great seminar last week by the Celtic spiritualist John Philip Newell. I ate it up. It was just so great. And what he reminded us all of, the 150 people or so who were listening to his lecture, when God brought Jesus, it was a revoicing of God's word, of God's intention for humanity. And John Philip was saying so many of us tend to put Jesus above us, but God's intention was for Jesus to be set beside us and to show this is the ultimate model of who I created you to be. This is exactly who I want you to be. And this is exactly who you are in the center of your being. And you need to work at prioritizing those qualities and those values that Jesus is exemplifying for you, because that is who you are. Jesus was called into the wilderness for 40 days by God the Spirit to empower him, but also to show us the importance of our own wilderness experiences. Jesus' life included choices, and some of them were temptations, like the ones we heard in the gospel lesson today. And he made decisions about those choices. He was tempted in the Garden of Gethsemane. Remember, "Father, take this cup from me." That's the temptation side. But his choice was, "But your will, not mine." So he received temptations the same way we do. The question is are we empowered as he was empowered to make the choices that speak to our spiritual center? And then he was tempted in the wilderness with food that would dull the centering from the fasting he'd undergone for 40 days. The whole purpose of that fasting was to energize and to focus his spiritual sensitivity to what he wanted to have revealed to him at that time in the wilderness. Food would ruin that. With promises of power that would feed his ego, not why he came. And with protection from harm, which would express his divine nature at the expense of his human nature. Jesus was drawn, just like the rest of us are, to consider decisions or actions based on ego or based on our spiritual center. And Jesus shows by trusting in the Spirit how we're in the same way that we're centered in the Spirit and the Spirit who lives in us, that we are always pushing against these urgings of our ego. In the 3rd century, there were hundreds of Christians who just abandoned the cities. They moved out into the desert in Egypt. They're known as the desert fathers and mothers. And they sought out living in the desert, not because it's a cool, beautiful place. It's because they wanted to go through hardship. And I read a great article a while ago, and I finally found it again on the web. They held the belief that the desert brought focus to 2 questions for them to reflect on in the years that they spent living in the desert. And they are, what do you learn to ignore in life? And what do you learn to love in life? And then when you are balancing these questions, how do you let go? And what do you hold on to? How do you let go, and what do you hold on to? A wilderness journey is a place for us to be able to examine exactly that. And we are probably, none of us in this room, going to go off to a physical desert or a physical wilderness, but we can certainly go into a private wilderness for a few moments each day. In Adams, New York, I had a pretty intense wilderness experience, and there have been others in my life, not that intense, but there have been others. And they've been times for me to discern in my life the direction I was allowing my life to take. Was it being fueled by ego and pride, or is it fueled by wanting my life to be directed by the essence of God that is my center? Lent is our annual 40-day time in the wilderness. If we let it, it can be a time to explore what force is directing us. It can be a time for us to choose the source we rely on to keep our ego in check and to give authority to the godly presence that is in us. May this season of Lent be a time for you to search and to self-discover, and to experience revelation and transformation. Amen. Amen.